when I stumbled upon my number, it was like somebody had opened up like the Bible of myself and was like, here you go. Do you see you? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not insane. I mean, yes, I'm insane, but there's other people like me.
Yeah.
And that was such a beautiful moment to go, it's not just me.
Is it possible that a number between 1 and 9 can determine your personality? Have you ever wondered why you act the way you do at your best and at your worst? We dive into the Enneagram with Tess O'Driscoll, the Enneagram Mom, in our first episode of our newest series, It Me, Identity in Motherhood. It's the Band of Mothers podcast. Band of Mothers. Welcome back, breeders.
Welcome back.
We love you.
Band of Mothers podcast. What's going on, Tracy?
I'm just sitting here pulling hair off my, I'm experiencing a lot of long hair.
You haven't had long hair in a long time.
Ever. Like since I was in kindergarten.
Really?
Literally in kindergarten, I think was the last time I've had.
Because you guys, Tracy had like the sliding doors Gwyneth haircut for when it was popular. Like it was very like much, that
two
was
decades
you.
Ago. I love that that's what everyone who's known me my whole life. Only talk. This is perfect because we're talking about identity. Like everyone identifies me with that haircut, which was just such a short blip of my whole life.
No, but you were like a chin and up.
I'm a bob girl. I've always had a bob in some form or another.
Even and a lob.
Even a. I was a first lob. I was a pioneer of the lob movement for sure.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to my brilliant hairstylist. But I'm just long and why is my hair all knotted up underneath? And Shay goes, because you have long hair.
Oh my
like,
God.
Is this a thing?
You know how frustrated I would get in the airports when I'd put my bag on and my hair would get caught in the strap of my bag and I'd be like pulling my hair out in the...
It's the knots. I was just sitting there on the couch talking to you and it's all knotted up. I just washed it and it's all conditioned.
Well, you're also wearing a sweater turtleneck, which by the way, you look amazing and so cozy and wintry. You would not catch me dead in a sweater turtleneck ever.
I am obsessed with this, and it, of course, is from Target. It's $23.
I told you their sweater game was good this year.
Their sweater game is good every year.
Yeah, but I feel like it's
Target
especially.
Sweaters. I stand behind it.
I don't wear a sweater. I can't wear a sweater. But anyway, I just love this difference in us. But you look amazing, and it's the sweater turtleneck that's making your underhairs.
That's insane.
Why?
Well, what is it doing that makes them tangle up? It's just a soft sweater.
I don't know. This is exactly what we were planning on talking about, you guys.
And then I'm just pulling hairs off said sweater because apparently when you have long hair,
it just sheds
everywhere. So that's what's going on with me, Shayna.
Happy Tuesday.
We love you guys.
We do. We are diving headfirst, brain first, into heart first, into a new series about identity. Because once you become a mom, who the fuck are we anymore?
I mean, and then once you become 40, who the hell?
What the hell am I?
apparently, you're a very large black woman.
We'll get into that later. I do identify with that.
Totally. So yes, there is so much to be explored. And as we move forward in this series of episodes, we will not only be digging into personality typing, for example, the Enneagram on today's episode, human design, astrology, things that we use as tools to understand our identities. Mm-hmm. But also lifestyles, who we really are in our relationships, who we are in our gender, really interesting subjects. I think identity really allows us to explore all of it. And we're titling it, It Me.
It Me. Because we're memers.
We're so not memers.
We're millennial memers. It Me.
We're not millennials. What are we?
I identify as a middle-aged woman.
A middle-aged woman.
Because I am.
You know what? I'm so fine with that now. That is so new to me. But since doing this podcast, I am so fine with being middle-aged.
Well,
because I'm awesome. Like, I'm awesome middle-aged. Who cares?
You are. We are. And also, there's nothing we can do about it. So like, there's not much. There's no point in fighting it. This is who we are. But I think that's the whole point. And I've had just an interesting sort of understanding of identity, especially after these last 2 years and just sort of growing spiritually and personally and uncovering.
Almost dying in a car accident.
Almost dying in a car accident, discovering my Enneagram, humans, all of the things. It's identity, you know, identity doesn't have to be a box that you live in. And I actually think identity doesn't really mean anything in the end. It's just who you are, you know? And so I love that we're exploring these different facets. But for me, I don't identify as anything except for Tracy T. Mm-hmm. I am not one thing. I am not this or that. That's this dualistic, you know, like polarized sort of world that we live in. Like we've been taught that we have to be X or Y. You have to do this or that, but that's not the truth, you know? And when you allow yourself to just kind of embrace the rainbow that you are, mm-hmm. it's just, it's freeing.
Sure. And I think that this particular, so the Enneagram was actually kind of our introduction into typing.
Totally.
And you're going to find out a lot of information and hear a lot about Tracy and I and what we discovered when we discovered Enneagram. But the more I've been thinking about this interview you're about to hear, it's interesting how Enneagram can seem almost based on conditioning and kind of like based on your experience in life versus astrology that's like the second you were born, when the planets were in this position, mm-hmm. this is who you're going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think both of them have a ton of value.
Mm-hmm.
Was there just a ding?
Yeah.
Oh, it was you. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was some weird thing on my phone.
I think both of them have a ton of value. And I love that we get to talk about all of it, because especially for you and I, who've really dug into a lot of stuff in the past couple of years, it is interesting to differentiate where you can benefit from one technique versus another. And then also, just as moms, to look at other moms, hear these great messages from you guys, hear these interviews of moms who specialize in these things or moms who've created these lives for themselves based on their identities. We're going to be talking about polyamory. We're going to be talking about people who feel much more comfortable in a relationship with more than one person.
Mm-hmm.
Things that Tracy and I have not explored and are so interested in. So there's a lot to come.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's, I think that you said it right. It's tools in terms of like identifiers, and it's all about just peeling away those onion layers of who you are, like to get back to your heart, like your true spark, and how we come to that point, I don't think is really the issue. You know, I think it's actually being open to say who I show up as on the surface may not be who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly has taken me 45 years to kind of understand that.
You're so middle-aged.
I'm so middle-aged. And then when you get to that point, then you're free to be whoever you want to be, because or who you know, you're free to explore like your true self. And certainly astrology or human design kind of help you uncover those layers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Enneagram specifically, to bring it back to that, is a very intellectual way of recognizing traits, good and bad, inside yourself that show you how you are in stress, how you are in your best as your best self,
and how you interact with people,
how you parent,
how you respond.
Mm-hmm. And then using that as sort of a jumping off point to say, okay, this is why I act that way when the milk gets spilled on the floor, or mm-hmm. this is why I act that way when my bank account is lower than I want it to be, you know. And the Enneagram really helps you recognize those trigger points and then adapt so that you don't have to just become that emotion or that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from there, sky's the limit. You know, I think it's an amazing like jumping off point.
Yeah. Well, it certainly was for us.
For sure.
And speaking of identity, before we get into this conversation with the amazing Tess O'Driscoll, who is on Instagram as the Enneagram Mom, mother of three, really creative, type three, you'll learn mm-hmm. more about. Tracy and I wrote a song years ago about, and the identity crisis that becomes us once we're moms dealing with young babysitters. Because we started to think about all the stupid shit we do to still feel to, like, relevant.
No one to impress them.
Yeah. Well, I know for me, it was much deeper. It's feeling relevant.
Like, why? Yeah. Why is everyone, not everyone, you know, I'm going to say everyone.
In all of us.
Show me a mom that's not intimidated by a young babysitter that comes. You either want her to be, it's usually her, to be, you know, impressed by the house you are, how loosey-goosey cool and not neurotic you are, and how much you can still relate to her.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so funny because they don't care.
No, they don't care at all. And I've gone so far as like getting high with my babysitter when I got home.
You're so proud of it. Like, you would call me and be like, I got high with the babysitter. No.
I mean, think because I understood the ridiculousness of it. And obviously delightful. I share that with you. Yeah. And she's also like part of the family.
Yeah.
But there are so many moments that just like, if we were just talking about it in front of our friends, like I told you that, or like in front of you guys today as we talk about it, it's really quite just funny and embarrassing that we all just kind of go to this like self-conscious place that we still want to be 20.
Well, that's the thing. And can I just share a funny story that happened to me this weekend?
Uh-huh.
So our family and then our friend Kate's family, we all went up to Keystone for the weekend. And the hotel that we were staying at has this amazing pool and hot tub, and they keep it heated even in the mountains until like 10 o'clock at night. So we were all outside and the kids were all swimming in the pool and the adults and all these other people were all in the hot tub. And there was this gorgeous 20-something kid who had just left New York and was here to work up on the ski slopes. And
like a male.
He was hot as hell. And he was just so young though. It's so dumb.
Oh my God. And is Kate reading that book that I told you about?
Yes.
Oh my God. But, which I'll tell you all about in a second.
We're sitting in the hot tub and he's just by himself. And it really wasn't the fact that he was good looking. It was just that he's just like young blood. Like, you can feel.
Oh yeah.
The
he would take care. Years. Like, he would take care.
Well, that's not the point. The point is that we thought, and we had some drinks and we thought we were being so chatty and conversational. And all we realized it on the way back up to the room. Like, all we really ended up doing was grilling this poor kid, where he's living, where he's from, what he studied in college. Does he know any friends here? Did he bring his car to Colorado? How long are you going to stay here? What job are you doing? You know, and like, we thought we were being like these cool conversational moms in the water.
He was like, no,
and he was like, why are my parents here? And why are they asking me all these questions? Like, he, you know,
was he at least flirty?
Oh God, no, that wasn't the point.
I just read that book. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You just read this book. The point is that we thought we were so cool. And then when we got out, we also experienced it in the restaurant prior to going to the pool. Like, we were all sitting around as a family with three, you know, tween to teen kids. Like, we were having so much fun. The kids are being stupid. We're just like this old family, these two old families. And Galen, Kate's husband, was like, oh my gosh, this young couple is like totally giving us side eye.
Oh, because you were loud?
We were loud. The kids were being kids. You know, they were up and down. They were going exploring the hotel. They were coming back. Like, nothing that would bother anyone in our sphere. But and it's funny for dads to like kind of feel that judgment. And so there's just all these young people at this resort. And we were just feeling like, we thought we were so cool. We've been having champagne. We were eating.
You're probably dressed nice.
But that's not the point. But like, we were just having so much fun. And on the outside, we just don't look as cool as we think. And we just thought we were relating so much to this kid in the hot tub at 10:30 at night. And we were just like two old ladies just being like, are you being safe? You know?
Oh,
did you bring enough outerwear? Like,
I had a babysitter once who was interested in theater, and I literally took her upstairs and showed her my play collection.
That's what I'm talking about. Full mom mode, and having no awareness.
Yeah,
of it.
Just thinking that she would think I was cool if she saw that. Like, it's so ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
I was on Law and Order. I mean, like,
right. I know. Like, I was like, well, I waited tables when I was your age.
Oh,
like,
God.
I mean, it's so bad. It's so silly. So anyway, that's what this song
is. It is about that. But I do have to tell you all about this book because I'm making Kate read it right now. I don't know if she's liking it or not. But it is about a divorced single mom, total fantasy in the sense that, like, she's French parents and she owns an art gallery in LA. Okay, so this is like nothing like really very realistic at all. Takes her daughter to a boy band concert, and one of the boy band members ends up having like this illicit hot as hell affair with this kid who's 20. And it's very Harry Styles. Like, everyone thinks that gosh, I think her name's Robin Lynn. I'll have to look it up. And the book is called The Idea of You. And I don't think I've read a sexier book ever. And apparently all the Insta bookers, like the Instagram book following people, know about this book, like as the other 50 Shades. Like, this is like...
That's what Kate said. It was kind of like...
Yeah. And so that's so funny that like you saw a 20-year-old in a hot tub. Did his erection come up past his belly button?
Stop.
Because I haven't stopped thinking about that part.
Disgusting. I didn't even look at him like that. I just looked at him as... young, like a youth. That's it. Like that I could relate. There was nothing sexual happening whatsoever. And I'm in my miracle suit, like drinking water because I'd already had too much wine. And God forbid I drink past 9 o'clock. Like,
you're like drinking like cucumber water with some vitamins in it.
I'm like, where's my vitamin K and my D supplement? Like, no, like, there was nothing sexual happening whatsoever. I'm like at all. I'm like, here's my daughter. I'm like, nothing. Yeah. It's so weird. That's not the point. The point was that I thought I was like young and I could hold a conversation with these people, and I cannot.
We're not.
Nor can you with your babysitters. Just pay them.
I haven't had a babysitter in years.
I know, right?
Like,
but it's also like, you know, and one other thing that started with the song is that we would always, you and I have talked about this so many times, like, why do we feel so guilty asking them to like wash the goddamn dishes?
Or I would be like, well, they can go to bed whenever. Like, I'm some cool mom. Like, this is ridiculous.
I'm paying you. You're not doing anything. You already have your phone. You're already zoned out. Like, put the dishes in the goddamn dishwasher. And like, why do I feel bad about it?
No, I do too.
Like, oh my gosh, she's going to think I'm like some strict, weird, no, clean up the goddamn fucking kitchen, please. All you ate was mac and cheese. Just put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
I'm paying you. I mean, babysitters make more money than I do right now. It's like $20 an hour.
I know.
So just that whole concept that we just can't even stand in our own power as older women who are raising children and leaving them in the care of this person.
Or.
And their phone.
Tracy.
Or what?
Maybe it's just us.
I don't think so. You think it's us?
It could be. There's probably, out of all the people listening to this podcast, some people are going, what the hell are they talking about right now?
You know what? If you are, please call us out on it. I don't believe it. And if you stand with us, please let
stand
us know.
Stand in. Yes, you're going to like this song then.
And this episode.
Can you come over at 6? And I'll show you around the place. You can just order a pizza with this money. I don't care if the kids stay up late. Netflix and chill, and when the kids go to bed, you should run yourself a hot bath. And when we get home, just tell us what we owe you. I'm so terrible at math. There's beer in the fridge, invite over some friends. I'm so laid back, I'm so laid back. I have that same cute top in black. I just wanna be cool for the sitter. I'm a mom, but I needed to know I still got it. I just wanna be cool for the nanny. I know it's insane, but I just can't stop it. I'm trying way too hard. Hey girl, what up? What shoes do you think I should wear? I've got a tattoo too, but I can't show you cause it's underneath my pubic hair. Oh, that's just my headshot from when I was an actress. Have you heard of Law and Order SVU? I'll be home really late because we're headed to a place that I just bought a Groupon to.
Oh my God, they are so annoying. It's like, get off me, right? They're like so clingy. Hashtag, you're so pretty.
There's Jello shots in the freezer. Do you want to spend the night? I'm so laid back. I'm on Snapchat. Boyfriend or girlfriend, whatevs. Invite them over for sex.
there. I am happy to share my Enneagram story with you. I've been studying Enneagram for about 20 years, not very well, not very closely, not a huge student, but when I first kind of discovered Enneagram and determined my type, it helped me to make sense of my world and how I interpret the world and how I interact in the world and how I sort of perceive information, et cetera. And it's been really a fun experience for me. Then I had kids and I gave birth to a 4, who I've only recently discovered is a 4 because I cannot figure out how she and I can be so different from each other and how a 4 can drive my world in a way that no one else ever has. So as a result of this, she's 10. And I have recently sought out a therapist who specializes in the Enneagram so that I can better understand how the heck my child and I are going to walk this world and this path together for the rest of our lives, because we're stuck together for the rest of our lives. So wish me luck.
So I am the Enneagram number 9, and that is the peacemaker, which I remember years ago when I took the test and I got my results and I, you know, read about number 9, and I felt like it validated who I thought I was. But when I start getting into, you know, each Enneagram has kind of a healthy side and an unhealthy side, and I remember that the darker parts of number 9 were things that maybe has affected my life a little bit, or at least it's made me more aware of things that I need to work on with myself. You know, being a peacemaker, someone who likes to bring harmony and light to every situation, bring people together, and I really tend to have a strength in just focusing on other people, making sure they're comfortable, they're happy, they're heard, and they're seen. What comes with that, I think the darker side of it, is me losing a sense of who I am. With the peacemaker, more of my strength is where I tend to focus on other people. And what I've tried to do more of is, you know, think of how that's affected myself and how I need to work on, you know, who I am, and getting in touch with grounding myself and in my own body.
Hi, I'm calling in to talk about the Enneagram. I would say that it's probably been about 5 years ago that I first learned about it. Would also say that I was very resistant to the idea at first, which I tend to be about most things that I'm not familiar with. I thought it was kind of silly, to be honest. And a friend talked me into purchasing the test that you can take online, kind of the official one. So I took the test, thought it was really interesting. Took me quite a while to get through the test. And after that, I would say that it probably took me a week or two to figure out what type that I thought I was. Eventually, with some help from friends, I realized that I'm pretty clearly a 6. Kind of a good overview is that a type 6 is like a worst case scenario person. Other nicer ways to put it are that 6s are planners. They're very loyal. So all of those things, I would say, describe me personally really well. One of the first things that it really did for me was help me to realize that I'm not alone in the way that I deal with things in life or the way that I feel about things. I always felt a bit isolated in my kind of worst case scenario thinking. And it was also definitely a thing that people kind of poked fun at me for a lot. So, you know, to realize that there is a whole group of people who feel this way was really nice and made me feel better about it. It also has been very helpful for me in my relationship with a lot of my friends who've also taken the test. My best friend is actually an 8. And I would say that, you know, a few years ago, we used to have a lot of miscommunications, or not a lot, but some miscommunications, or we might have arguments. And once we both learned more about each other through the Enneagram, we came up with an entirely new understanding of each other and a new way to communicate. So that was really cool and really helpful.
Tess O'Driscoll is the face behind the Instagram account, The Enneagram Mom, where she explores all of our Enneagram types. And as a mom of three boys, all under the age of six, who lives on a farm in Utah with pigs, deer, quail, chickens, and ducks, and is a self-professed crime junkie and also an Enneagram 3, she has the most amazing perspective on how to parent using the Enneagram, how to look at your kids through the Enneagram, and we are so excited to be able to talk to her.
Tess, the Enneagram mom, is here with us, and she has three children, all boys, and she still looks nice and perky this morning.
Very perky.
Welcome to Band of Mothers podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm like so excited to be here.
Oh, love that.
Thank
you. We're excited that you're excited that you're here.
I know. Well, we're big fans on the social view, but we're also big Enneagram fans. So will you maybe start out by telling our listeners what the heck that even means?
Yes, that's always a great start because usually when I talk about the Enneagram, they're like, how do you even pronounce that?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
is that?
Uh-huh.
Who are you? I was
Sounds
like, how
like
much
math.
Astrology
yeah.
is going into it?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I am the Enneagram mom. So I Enneagram coach people. It's basically to figure out your personality and a way of how you see the world. A lot of Enneagram or different personality tests are how the world sees you. The Enneagram is how you see the world and how you connect with the world and how to make the world a better place. Because honestly, if everybody knew themselves better, how much better of a world would we live in? So that is my goal, to help everybody understand themselves on a deeper level, understand your family, understand your spouse, so you can have these deep relationships with everyone around you and yourself. So understanding who you are and what motivates you, and so you can get to your highest potential.
Okay, so you said understanding who you are and what motivates you. What are other aspects of learning about who you are? And then also just explain, you know, what the Enneagram is in terms of the identifiers and stuff.
Yes. Okay. So there are 9 Enneagram types. It's based off your motivation and your fear. So that is how you're really going to figure out your type. And a lot of people look at the behaviors, but truly it's just that motivation and fear to help you figure out what you are. But there's a lot of behaviors that are across all the platforms. So you can look at it and be like, the typical Enneagram 3 does this, this, and this. And the typical Enneagram 8 does this, this, and this. And looking at these things, these behaviors also help us to justify or to understand, okay, this is why I do the things I do. And then from there, I can move forward and go, okay, how can I do this in a healthier way? Mm. How can I look at myself and go, okay, according to my Enneagram type, this is how I'm going to respond in a situation, and say, okay, you guys are working together. You guys are 3 and an 8. You are going to respond very differently to things, right? You're going to come out and one of you is probably going to be a bit more aggressive, while one of you is going to be like, okay, I kind of think we should do it this way. So you're going to have these two different behaviors, but knowing your Enneagram type is going to go, okay, this is the best way for our relationship to mesh together, for us mm-hmm. to see it. And it's funny because I am married to an 8, so I'm a 3, and I'm married to an 8.
Oh, and I'm also married to a 3. Yeah.
It's one of the most common pairings, but I'm like,
is
you guys
really?
Are basically married.
That's
at this
true.
Point.
Yes.
I was like, when you have a podcast together, you're married.
100%.
So I'm like, you have to learn how to handle everyone's responses and look at, go, okay, you're not under, I mean, you understand this because you're married to people and then also being married to each other, and you'll say something and the other person's like, I literally have no idea what you're saying. Mm. No clue. I have no idea where you're, but when you understand, okay, this person is coming from a place of they want to feel secure and they want to feel safe. How can I give that to them? Mm-hmm. How can I make them feel safe? That's going to really improve your relationship with them and help you to understand where other people are coming from.
Yeah, we've dove into the Enneagram with our team several years ago and did kind of like an intensive workshop, which was fascinating. And it really, really helped us just from a structural business perspective. Just for example, giving a task to one of our employees, just the way that we were able to ask for that task, knowing how they respond.
How they even receive the information.
Yeah, how they receive and how they respond. But I love that you talked about healthy versus unhealthy, because that's one of the things that I think is so cool about the Enneagram. And I like the way they use that word. I don't know, it like really resonates with me, but this idea that you can be this unhealthy version of this number, or you could be this healthy version of this number. And so you have them both within you. And like, what do you choose? You know, I think that's a really interesting part of it. And I think it comes up for me a lot in parenting, for sure. Although I haven't, I have not diagnosed my kids. Like, how do you feel about diagnosing kids?
So I actually teach that I'm like, it's fine to look at people and try to figure out their Enneagram types when you are trying to have a good relationship with them. Okay. So you're trying to have a better relationship with your children. So I look at my son and I believe my son is a 7 wing 8. He's only 6. So I also look at that as it's interchangeable. Right now, I'm not 100%, although in my brain, I think I am. But I look at it and go, okay, I believe this is what he is. So I'm going to treat him and have this relationship with him as though he is this number. And as he gets older, he can figure out what type he is for himself. Because honestly, he can still change his number. He can still decide like, oh, like he could have a traumatic event happen in his life during this time that will flip his number. So knowing that, like, okay, now I know my son is constantly looking for fun and excitement constantly. If it's not fun, my son will not be part of it. And he gets so mad. And so now knowing that, I'm like, okay, how can I make this as fun as possible to motivate him to have this excitement that he's looking for?
About so these I would Brussels sprouts.
About scrubbing toilets.
Yeah. I was like, absolutely. I was like, school, whatever it takes. So I'm looking at that and going, okay, I am diagnosing him or looking at his Enneagram number to have a healthier relationship with him. And I also am open to the fact that it might change. His wing might change. Behaviors might change over time. And I'm okay with that. So that's what I tell parents is kind of you're looking for behaviors while they're younger. And as they get older, they can figure it out and process for themselves. But during this time, you're just going to look and be like, okay, I think they're this number so I can have a good relationship with them. I mean, a lot of people say like, my husband won't take the test. I can't figure out what my husband is. So I'll say, pick between a few that you think they are and start having a relationship based off of those numbers. And that is going to strengthen your marriage already because you're looking for the motivation.
And just to back up just really quick for people listening. Yeah. So there are 9 Enneagram types.
Yes.
Each, and so you fall into this sort of circle and everyone identifies primarily with one number, like overall. So I, for example, am an 8, which is called the
Challenger.
The Challenger, yeah. Yes. And Shayna is an Enneagram 3, which is called the Performer, right? Or I mean, there's different. Okay. So there's 9 of these. And what I also love, and we kind of touched on it, is that not only are you learning about sort of the highs and lows within who you are as a person, it also allows you, like you're saying, to learn about other people. And so when I discovered it, and this is the analogy I try to use when I talk to about people about the Enneagram, is I discovered it. I figured out who I was. I took the RADY test. We can talk about that, which is an online test. It's $12 and it's very comprehensive. And then I got we call it the Enneagram Bible, the Wisdom of the Enneagram, that kind of is like the big main source for explaining it all. And I read my chapter for the 8 and I literally like cried and like hugged the book to my chest because I felt so seen. I mean, I finally, someone was like, you're not crazy, but also here's a little bit why you're crazy. And it was a very great way of explaining the whole spectrum of who I am and that I'm not alone. It's just who I am. And then when I moved on from that and my husband took the test and I read about my husband, I had the exact same reaction. Hmm. I was like, that is who he is. And it was like 25 years of therapy in an hour, just understanding why he has to walk around the house sweeping all the time. You know, why is he constantly putting things away? It drives me nuts, but he's a 9 and that's what he needs to do. And once I learned that, it's like you let go of all that resistance.
resentment of people's quirks, because you just accept that that's just kind of in their DNA. And so, yeah, like she said, it helped us immensely as a team.
Oh yeah.
And then I haven't typed my daughter either. I have a sneaking suspicion she too is an eight. but you know, that's the one part where Shay and I, we've never really, we've applied it to ourselves as people and moms, but we've never like tied it in with like our kids specifically.
Yeah. And I will say it's definitely hard to figure out your kids because Enneagrams can change up into the late teenage years. Mm-hmm. So that is based off a traumatic event. So trauma to us as adults looks very different to trauma as children, which is super fascinating. But my middle child swore he was a nine. He was the chillest dude ever. Like he came into this world and just like everything was easy breezy, no big deal. And then I found out I was pregnant when he was a year old and I had HG with him, hypermesis gravitarium. Mm. So I got super sick, couldn't take care of my own children. I was like literally bedridden. It was the worst experience. And then I had my sweet Lincoln who has all sorts of issues. So all my attention went from this easy breezy middle child who was like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And that was trauma to him. I mean, it was trauma to me as an adult. Mm-hmm. Having children is traumatic. But it was so traumatic for him that I don't know his Enneagram number anymore. Mm,
interesting.
His behaviors totally shifted. He is not easygoing. He is a nervous child now. And so I went, oh, I for sure. I was like, he's an Enneagram nine. He's an Enneagram nine. And then I was like, oh, I have no idea what he is. So that trauma happened. So bringing home a new baby, maybe starting in a new grade where you might not get along with people. This is going to be a trauma that affects our children and they are going to process it. And they're processing it in their little brain way and going, I don't know how to handle this. And it can actually flip their personality.
Sure.
So it's crazy, but I'm like, it's totally something to notice. And that's why it's like, when you're looking for your child's number, you're also going to be looking for, okay, if something major happens, it can totally shift their behavior. They might not be that number forever. And I mean, even looking, most people in their teen years, I'm finding they are actually the opposite wing that they were when they were an adult. Mm.
And a wing is that you can have a little bit of the traits on the number on either side. So if I'm an eight, I can have a wing seven or a wing nine.
Yes, which
so you, exactly. You've got like, so that you're a little bit more specified of who you are.
Yes, exactly. And I always say with the wings, when you're trying to figure out your wing type is, so you've got your base, which is like your ice cream, right? So I'm like, I'm a three and you pull sprinkles from both sides. So I'm pulling sprinkles from two and I'm pulling sprinkles from four. But I am like handfulling the sprinkles from two. So I'm like, gotcha. I have a lot more of the characteristics of the two. And there are people that have really heavy and strong wings. And there are people that have really light wings. So that's also something to know. But you have personality traits from both of them, which makes you a well-rounded, lovely person. But you definitely have more of one of the wings. So that's when you're figuring those out. But I've noticed when talking to parents or teenagers that it seems like they have the behaviors from their opposite wing than they do when they're an adult. So that's something to look for too. If you're working with your children and say they're like 15 or whatever, and you're like, oh, I have an eight wing seven as a child, there's still a chance once they get to an adulthood, they might flip it and become an eight wing nine. And so knowing that it's not really set in stone until you're probably early 20s, that's when you're like, okay, I know I'm this. And you can move forward with it.
So let's focus then on moms and us as adults and as women and as parents. So how do you, especially since you're the Enneagram mom, how does knowing who you are, your type, help you as a woman?
Yes. Well, for me, I know when I had the same response. When I stumbled upon my number, it was like somebody had opened up like the Bible of myself and was like, here you go. Do you see you? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not insane. I mean, yes, I'm insane, but there's other people like me.
Yeah.
And that was such a beautiful moment to go, it's not just me. It's not just me that can multitask like nobody's business. I'm an Enneagram 3, so I'm a performer. I love to get praise from other people and I'm always looking for validation and to like be successful, right? And mm-hmm. success can look for different threes, completely different. But I am looking for that and searching for that constantly. Whereas I have this eight husband who can be very intense sometimes because they, I'm going to say the word passionate, because they passionately yep. speak and it can hurt my feelings sometimes because he will just tell it how it is. And I'm like, that hurt my feelings, man. Like, this had nothing to do with feelings. This was me telling you, this is why we have a budget. And I'm over here going, the Christmas is ruined. And that for me was so eye-opening. And that's what I want. I want moms to have that moment, because I think sometimes your identity can get lost in parenthood as soon mm-hmm. as you become a mom, and the different phases of whatever number of children you have, you can go through almost a crisis of finding yourself. But the Enneagram is solid. The Enneagram I can always fall back on, and I can always look at it and go, this is why I might be going into depression or anxiety, because I'm not feeling fulfilled by my Enneagram number. I don't feel like I'm doing any of my motivation. I don't feel successful when I was sick for months and months and could barely get off the couch and function. That is not me living to my highest self. So I am going to move into depression really quickly, or anxiety really quickly. And so when you know your number, you can, as a mom, go, okay, I am struggling. Mm. What am I missing that I need to be fulfilled? Mm-hmm. And it's okay that I need to feel successful.
Yes.
It's okay that you need to feel freedom.
Yeah.
Okay, that you need this thing to make you feel better, because that is part of who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part that's missed in the Enneagram a lot, is people are like, well, now you can just use it as an excuse. Well,
it's not an excuse. Yeah.
It's never an excuse. It's a moment where you can look at it and go, this is hard. And the best thing for me might be like Monica from Friends, where she goes and she like organizes stuff. Mm-hmm. That makes her feel better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why would you say this is stupid and people shouldn't do this to make them feel better?
It's so true. And it's, and going back to my nine husband, because nines have a tendency to potter and to like, and they need to, like,
aren't they the peacemaker?
Yeah.
Is that their,
yes. Yeah. Yes.
But the they
peacemaker.
Also numb.
The peacemaker and a challenger in a marriage.
I know. Right. But they also numb out by like busy work, which is,
yes,
which is the personification of my husband. God bless him. But to your point, instead of getting angry at that, it's like giving him permission to work his shit out and I get clean yes. floors out of it, and not being so resentful jealous. Of it and letting it bother me, because it doesn't have anything to do with me.
Yeah.
It's everything to do with him and just how he exists in the world. And so, and we talk about this all the time on the podcast, and you totally nailed it. Like, moms giving themselves permission to actually be who they are, to have these identifiers, these personality traits, and these needs, these things mm-hmm. that you have to do to fill yourself up and just say, yeah, I've got to feel free right now. How do I make that within the context of where I'm at in this moment, is a huge release. You know, mm-hmm. That's freedom.
There's also absolutely. Freedom in, just like you guys said. I think it's funny because both of your reactions to learning your Enneagram was like, oh, there's other people like me. But my reaction was like, oh my God, this explains everything. Like, it was less of a, it's okay to be like this, and more of a, oh my God, I am like that. Like, yeah. Oh, this yeah. is exactly, like, all of my value is in my success. Like,
yes.
which is wrong. This is unhealthy. That is an unhealthy three. But that explained, like you said, like my reactions to things. I mean, how many conversations have we had, Trace, where I'm just like, okay, I know this is my threeness, but this is where I'm coming from emotionally about this. And I'm working on, I recognize it and I'm working on it. But like, to be in your 40s and then go, holy shit, there's a number, there's a definition of why I think this way.
And there's a book that outlines yes. it, that helps me.
Yeah.
And you then, get your own little Bible of you.
You get your own little Bible. And then you go, and to your point, like when you're having these moments, either good or bad, like these really high highs or really high lows, you can use that to say, okay, how am I going to react almost in alignment with mm-hmm. my best self, so that you don't swerve off and fuck it all up. You know, it's like yes. fascinating. It's like a toolkit.
Well, let me just say too, that we, now that we've dug into it for a couple years, and Tess, you can tell us what you think about this. I've met many other threes who I feel like are nothing like me, but there's these core things that draw us together. So it is interesting. It's like, what are the other personality tests? The
Myers-Briggs.
The Myers-Briggs or the Myers-Briggs. I always said EMDR. That's like a therapy, but like,
even like human design.
Yeah.
Yes, so, human design.
Or even astrology. How many people have you met who were born on the exact day as you, and you're like nothing like them? So I just want to be clear that we're not trying to say that if you're a three, because there's these wings, and then there's these like social and emotional aspects as well that you learn from the book, or books or workshops or just following Tess on IG. Like, there's so many ways to be each of these numbers, but there's these core, it's literally a list of like five or six things, right? That like, this is a three at its most unhealthy. This is a three at its healthiest. And that's what's so cool. Like, your Instagram account and is so great because you put these little what would you call the infographics, right? So it'll be like, mom's shopping for Christmas, and then it'll have like each number, and I made that one up, but feel free to use it.
I was like, I'm writing that down for ideas.
it's so true, how a three does it versus a nine versus an eight versus a seven.
It's fascinating, and it's like liberating in its consistency.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy. Yeah. It sometimes freaks me out, even though I've been studying this for years now. I will look at something and be like, were they watching me? Like, I was like, they must have saw me this morning trying to shop for Christmas presents. Like, I'm kind of worried, but no, it is.
And then it's also wow, I'm just a walking cliche of myself, you know, but you're right, Shay. Like, we are all still uniquely individual and nuanced within each number. And then the other cool thing, is that it shows you what number you can go to, like if things really go south. So like my worst self, when I'm really low, I go to a five, right? As an eight. Mm-hmm. And, and I go to the bad parts, not the good parts of the five.
I go to like a number 11. Turn it up to 11.
So it shows you too. Cramped. Yeah. And so and that felt really good because, you know, just to like put some context. So eights are very, like we talked about, like very direct. I've been saying for years that I'm not yelling, I'm just passionate. And people now, Shayna finally understands because of the Enneagram. You know, we're very honest.
Nothing to do with other people. It has nothing to do with me.
No, and fine. Truth is everything. Freedom is everything. And, but truly in the end, I am just this mushy little sobby, horribly emotional person on the inside. The exterior doesn't necessarily always come off that way. But when I'm really tired or exhausted or stressed, I go to a five, and that explains why I need to be alone a lot, why I have to recharge. And I just reach a point where I'm like, I need to be in a bath for 2 hours. And it explains so much of my instinctual behavior. So then I can also just, so that my husband can recognize when I'm just like, I can't talk to anyone for a day. So everyone needs to go, you know, that they know that that's why, because I'm at the breaking point.
Yeah. And that I think is one of the most beautiful parts of the Enneagram, is talking about how you behave in stress. Mm-hmm. Like really, because that for me is one of the most eye-opening points. And a lot of people are like, I don't really want to talk about that part, because like that's the bad part. But I'm like, but no, really, like when you are sick, like, I mean, you're a three, you understand, we shut down, we are gone. Mm-hmm. Literally all of our responsibilities are just like, we're like, we don't even care, because we're just going to lay in bed and do nothing, but also have our hands moving at the same time, because we have no value if we just lay there and do nothing. So I literally don't know how to sit still to like save my entire life. Mm-hmm. But knowing what you go to in stress, that is huge, because then you can also look at it when, say, your kids have made a giant mess in the house, or you're overwhelmed, or you're starting to get sick. You can go, I am going to this behavior right now. Mm-hmm. I am going to choose pick the best parts of this right now, which a lot for me is when I go to a nine, because I'm a three, when I go to a nine and I go into this hibernation, like I become like literally a bear and I'm like, no one touches me. No one talks to me. Mm-hmm. No one looks at me. And I have to go, okay, I'm going to choose to go. It's okay for me to rest because mm-hmm. threes struggle with rest. Eights struggle with rest. Mm-hmm. Like we don't know how to stop and recognizing, okay, even if I'm getting a little bit sick now, I choose to spend the day cross stitching, or I choose to watch my favorite TV show. Mm-hmm. And that's me not saying I'm not worth of value because I'm not getting the hundreds of things I normally do. This is me going, I'm not going to stay sick for a week because I'm choosing to avoid that I'm being sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to accept it and go, okay, how can I get better the fastest? How can I move through this quickly?
And what beautiful permission for moms who don't, I think oftentimes we feel trapped, like we don't have these choices. Like we're just like, well, I certainly did that when my kid was younger. Like, I'm just going to keep on keeping on with 102 degree fever and still go, you know, do all the things and not let myself rest. But it's almost like you've been given this like playbook where you're just like, you can hold up the flags and be like, 8 card, you know, I'm calling it today. and moms don't instinctively do that. We just think we don't have any choices. And mm-hmm. I think that we find that a lot when we, you know, we talk to moms is that they just don't feel like there's an option.
I think we also, I mean, social media is fantastic. I mean, I love social media, but it also can be really hard because we're looking at other moms and going, I don't do it like she does, or I should keep up with her. I mean, I've had so many people message me, I want your motivation. I just want your motivation. And I'm like,
you're not a three. Yeah.
And not get that from me. I was like, you can get some of my ideas, some of my thoughts. You can try some of these things, but for you, you can't have this. This is me.
Not in you. It's literally not in your DNA.
Now, if it's a three messaging me, I'm like, girl, why go? Like, what is holding you up? But I'm like, that's not who you are. Mm-hmm. That is not who you are. And let's look at the traits you have that are beautiful.
Yes.
And start seeing those. Because I look at ones and their perfectionism and their ability to actually like detail orient, which as a three, I do not do because I need to get to the end goal. So I'm like, details are not my jam. I'm just like, how do I finish this as quickly as possible because I have 12 other tasks on my menu. And so I look at them and I go, that is an ability. What are you using? What are you using it for? How are you using that as a mom? Are you making sure your cabinets are organized? Because that's going to fulfill you, mm-hmm. not me.
Yeah, not me.
That will fulfill you.
Yeah.
That will fulfill you. Looking at twos with their giving nature and how loving they are and going, mm-hmm. hey, are you part of the PTA? Are you part of a community where you can share the love and receive it because you deserve that? Looking at fours and their absolute artistic uniqueness and truly seeing them, because I was like, they have a depth that mm-hmm. is just blows my mind. And I was like, do you have friends that you can have deep conversations with? Mm. Are you looking for that? Do you have that depth? Fives. If you know a five that's a woman, which it is one of the most rare types to be as a woman, mm-hmm. fives are absolutely incredible. And they have so much depth, but they hold it all in and nobody knows about it.
My
and
mom's so making, a five.
They're like so incredible because they have knowledge for years. Mm-hmm. And so having these people that you feel safe enough that you can connect with all these depths. Sixes, recognizing that your ideal for safety and this anxiety you may feel is okay.
It's a superpower.
And you move past it, right? I don't look for the scenarios around me. I never look. I go to the park and I'm like, oh, I forgot extra clothes while we're potty training. Don't do anything. Like I don't, and my sister will be like, oh, I packed a diaper bag for you too, because I know you forget everything.
Amazing.
And I'm just like, sixes blow my mind. Mm. Sevens bring light to this world. And man, do we need light right now? We need joy. We need laughter. We need people that can just love and see the bright side more than anything. Eights, you can have a blunt conversation with people. Man, that's a superpower. Because me, I'm trying to tiptoe around everybody because I want to make everybody happy. Everybody be on this planet. And you're like, nope, I'm just going to tell you how it is. And I'm like, that's a power. Ninth, your ability to relax, to see everyone, mm-hmm. to see them and love and mediate. That is a superpower because many of us don't know how to relax. And that's why the world's so medicated right now. Mm. So I'm like looking at what is your type and are you playing to that superpower right now? Are you utilizing it? Because if you're not, you will fall into depression very, very quickly. Mm. And as a mom, sadly, we don't have time for depression because mm-hmm. we also have little humans we're raising, little people that look up to us, and we need to be that light and example. So the best way to be that example for our children is being true to yourself, knowing you and saying, this is who I am. And I love and accept every piece of me. And man, if I could tell my children one thing, it would be love your freaking self exactly mm-hmm. as you are. And that's going to grow you and that's going to strengthen you to be who the world needs you to be, because the world needs every single Enneagram type, every single one.
Having a daughter has been like throwing a giant mirror up in front of my face, reflecting back to me everything about myself that I don't like. Every reaction that I have that I wish that I could change. Every little thing about my personality or the way that I process information or how I deal with my emotions. It's all just so magnified when you're seeing the impact that it has on this little tiny human that you've created. And one of the ways, I mean, the biggest thing for me is really using different archetypal systems to try to really understand who I am as a person. I think that's the best gift that I can give to my daughter, is really trying to understand who I am and how I work so that I don't impact her with any unconscious self or any shadow that's kind of stuck inside of me. So I love to use human design, astrology, and really the first system that kind of came to me was the Enneagram. And I found it so fascinating. Both me and my husband like got obsessed with it, and we were super into it for a really long time. And I'm an Enneagram 6 and my husband is an Enneagram 9. And what that's helped me see as a 6 is the hypervigilance that I carry, that I'm constantly looking for dangers around every corner, that that's just how I'm wired. I'm just wired to scan my environment for the worst possible thing that could happen and then protect against that thing happening. And it's helped me see that just because I'm wired that way, that doesn't necessarily mean that I have to create that in my child, you know? I think if I didn't have the tool of the Enneagram to help me see that that's my own wiring, then I might unconsciously pass some of that fear and anxiety onto her. But by being able to use the tool of the Enneagram, I'm able to see that that's all mine, that resides within me. And it's just how I'm built. And it gives me grace and compassion for myself to just be the best mom that I can be.
Well, hello there. My name is Debbie Shear, and I am calling in because your topic is the Enneagram, which is something I love, love, love. As an Enneagram 8, I have spent the majority of my life thinking, what's wrong with me? I'm too much this, I'm too much that, all of the things. And so I have to be honest that learning about the Enneagram really helped so much, not only for a personal, deeper understanding about who I am and why I choose to show up the way I do, but it's helped me in my relationships, personal as well as professional. It has helped me show up as a better parent and really so much more. I would say for anyone who's interested in learning about the Enneagram, the biggest thing is to go into it open-minded and don't treat it the way our society has treated astrology, which is picking and choosing what we like and discarding the rest, because that would do such a disservice to the Enneagram as a whole and to your learning and your growth potential. So that's all I have. Have a great day.
Thank you so much to all the moms who sent in messages. There is so much information there. It's so cool. And that interview with Tess is totally great.
She's just a freaking go-getter.
Yeah.
Love her. That was really cool.
That was cool. And I hope that it gave you all a better understanding of why the Enneagram can be a great tool for figuring out how you really respond to the world.
It is. And it really is such a gateway into sort of a greater understanding of yourself. And if it wasn't clear in the interview, this is sort of how we approached it. And that this was kind of the suggestion that was given to us by friends who have been studying the Enneagram for a long time. But we'll put all this in the show notes, but go, we do like the $12 test.
The RETI test.
Yeah. RHETI. Mm-hmm. So we suggest you go
Ready.
Take, go take the RETI test.
Uh-huh. Ready.
And, it's like really helps you sort of solidify and then look at your top two that you were sort of, it tells you like kind of how you ranked,
yeah.
like what your points were. Like you came out really heavy with a 5 or a 3 and then go get, the Wisdom of the Enneagram mm-hmm. by Hudson. And it's by two authors.
You and I can never remember that.
I never remember. It's blue. Just type it in on Amazon.
It looks like you're joining a cult. Go for it.
It looks all culty. Get that book. It's worth the money. And then start by reading those chapters first of like, say there's two that you're kind of tied on. Read those chapters first. They have another little smaller test. Take the test. And if you can get to a place where you think you know who you are, then read that chapter and then start at the beginning of the book and understand the context of the Enneagram, because it's crazy confusing. But I think once you're reading it through the lens of, oh, I understand now, now I'm a 2. And then you kind of get the overview of what and how it does, it just helps. And that's what I suggest.
Mm-hmm.
If you're and really, truly, we encourage you guys to do it. It is truly eye-opening.
And I think for me personally, it was most eye-opening in the sense of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talk about that a lot in this interview, but really understanding delivery and response, mm-hmm. how I need to deliver, how and why I respond a certain way, why someone else responds a certain way. It's just things that we don't take the time to think about, especially in work relationships, especially in parenting.
Totally. Any high stress sort of relationship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's great. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. Tess is so amazing.
Follow her on Instagram, but also follow Band of Mothers Official.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are enjoying this podcast, please leave a review. Please make sure that you are subscribed so that every Tuesday you get a little episode. And make sure that you join our Facebook group, Band of Mothers on Facebook, if you're into that. We have nearly 5,000 moms on there asking questions, giving advice, high vibes only. No jerks allowed.
No jerks allowed. And we will see you next week as we continue to explore identity.
It me.
It me.
Don't forget to listen to Band of Mothers podcast weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Band of Mothers podcast.